This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Jacob DeGrom returns to Citi Field for the first time as an opponent, with the Mets facing less than ideal circumstances as they are choking all over themselves and has watched their wild card lead get diminished all the way down to a simple game and a half. So a big baseball night tonight. We'll get more into the football this hour, including our NFL picks. But right now, a few minutes after 5 o'clock, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. So you might be making your way out to Citi Field tonight. It is Jacob DeGrom night as he returns, and it is full-throated Mets collapse time. Evan was scared to start the show, and around 2:30 Eastern, the great Frank the Tank joined us to battle Positive Tommy in a battle of wits, I guess you can call it, on basically who's right about the Mets. So I'm here to give you, I think, the five best moments from the Frank the Tank versus Positive Tommy brouhaha earlier in the show. If you're just in the car, missed it at 2:30.
I'm going to assume that the first 5 minutes are not a part of this, because it was one of those fights that, like, they circled each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one of those boxing fights where they're, like, looking at each other for a few minutes.
Basically what this is going to be, I'm going to provide audio. It's going to end up being my favorite audio moment. So there is a moment early, and let's start here with number five.
Here we go!
Number five.
This team has as much fight as that father last week who quickly handed the ball over to Karen. if anyone comes up to the Mets and says, we want to win, the Mets just hand it here. Here, kid.
So Frank the Tank comparing the Mets fight to the dad who gave up the ball to the Phillies fan.
That is a very good line. Do you think he wrote that out, or is that spur of the moment?
That's a solid moment, though.
That's a solid one.
That was hilarious.
And it's very accurate,
and
too.
And the memes that have come off of that are amazing.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
You got rid of OMG Jose Iglesias, replaced it with the Pink Pony Club.
Frank, that's a great song. I'm going to keep on dancing to the Pink Pony Club. It's a huge hit. I was just in Nashville a couple weeks ago. They played it 100 times.
It might be a huge hit, but...
Okay.
It just shows you everything that's wrong with modern music.
Turned into a discussion on modern music.
So, all right. Frank breaking down the Grammys there with Positive Tommy. That was point number four. Frank is very, very concerned about what's going to happen next year during rain delays. And we discovered that during this fight. This is point number three.
This is number three.
This team has not had one comeback. Not one.
The last
amazing
thing.
Finishes.
Okay,
amazing.
So they're due. They're due. Frank, are they not due? They're
that's
due.
That's the conclusion of amazing finishes 2025.
Okay.
They're due. What are you going to do about the rain delays next year? They had no amazing finishes this year.
Frank, they're due.
For those that are not aware, Amazing Finishes is a show on SNY in which they show like the top 10 amazing finishes of a given season, and they usually play it during rain delays. And Frank's point is, there are no amazing finishes.
It's my favorite point that he made the whole time.
It's so accurate. Like, he's right. Like, I'll watch amazing finishes from 2011, and there's a lot of great comebacks, right, even in a bad year. This season has no amazing comebacks, and so he's concerned for SNY, hello SNY, that your amazing finishes show won't have a 2025 edition.
So truly a good point to Frank. By the way, as we go through these points, we realize Frank did win the debate. I might retract that.
So far, it's all Frank the Tank.
So when we get to point number two here, Frank is put on the litmus test of, what do you think Positive Tommy really provides for the Mets? Let's just call it that way, in being positive. Take it away, Tommy.
Number two.
What is all your screaming? What is all your ranting? What is all your raving? What is
what
all
is your positivity done?
Frank, they got to, hold on a second. No, that's not true. Frank, last year when I started being
last
positive,
year's a whole different team.
They got to the NFCS, Frank, and right now they're sitting in the playoffs.
Positivity does jack is the quote. Okay. And last but not least, as we get to number one, there was one thing that Positive Tommy could say and one thing only that would truly anger Frank when it comes to the Met losses. Two words, no biggie.
Number one.
When the Mets lose games, just say no biggie. No biggie.
No, what? No, it is a biggie. It is a problem. They have not had any urgency. They have not had any urgency.
And now it's time to turn the team around.
You said they haven't let it go to Rome.
Yeah, but your negativity doesn't
turn. The rope is out of her hands now.
Oh, no, it's not out of her
hands
now. No, they have not let go of the rope, Frank.
You're ready to play in the Athletics this weekend.
So what?
I had a feeling no biggie was really going to set him off.
Yeah, it did.
And that's your Frank the Tank versus Tommy, the highlights you needed ahead of the Mets and Rangers tonight.
It's this motherfucker, Tommy Lou Gowers.
If you want to hear the whole thing, you're more than welcome to. You can rewind it to 2:30 on the Odyssey app, but you don't even need to. Because Sean just supplied you the full information.
You got all the highlights right there.
All the highlights. Let me check in on the New York Yankees lineup tonight, because that is always a piece of information that pisses Yankee fans off. It never really makes them happy. It's usually like, can you believe this guy's not in the lineup? So here's what we got tonight, and you tell me if we approve. Are you ready?
I am.
Leading off, not Austin Slater, who did it last night. Trent Grisham in center field.
He got a hit.
He did. No, I know. Trent Grisham in center. We're good?
So far, so good.
Now, remember, this game is at Fenway Park. All right? So right field is a big-ass right field. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Unless you hook it down the pesky pole. Aaron Judge is DHing and batting second. Ben Rice is batting third and playing first base. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cody is in right field
that
batting cleanup.
Big-ass right field.
Big-ass right field, which means Giancarlo is in left field.
Hey, it's a little short left field.
You just got
a big wall.
You just turn around and take everything off the wall.
Yeah, you got to just be conservative. Play it off the wall, and you could turn wall balls into long-ass singles. That's all you could do. Jazz Chisholm at second base. Austin Wells back in the lineup behind the plate. Jose Caballero at shortstop batting eighth. And Ryan McMahon batting ninth at third base. It is Luis Gil against Lucas Giolito. We good with this lineup?
Of course we're good with this.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be good with
it. I mean, the only thing you were looking for was Volpe. You're just waiting for you to say Volpe. And when Volpe's not there, you're good with the lineup. Because the top five or six, they're going to be fine. You're okay with it, no matter what combination you throw out there.
You have to imagine, and we'll find out over the weekend, and this is not going to be easy. In fact, though Lucas Giolito has pitched well since coming off of his injury, he is the easiest pitching matchup of the weekend because Bayo has dominated the Yankees, not just this year, but throughout his career. And then Garrett Crochet is getting the ball on Sunday night. So when you look at who you're facing, it feels like this game is the most winnable against Lucas Giolito. But I'm going to make an assumption. I don't think we're going to see Anthony Volpe this weekend. I mean, how can we?
Yeah.
Caballero's played well. He looks fine at shortstop. He can steal bases. He still leads the league in stolen bases, despite the fact he hasn't been an everyday player.
And he's had, what, 11 with the Yankees so far?
Yeah.
Maybe more, whatever it is. He's got a double-digit stolen bases already. He doesn't play every day.
How can he not be the everyday shortstop?
He should be the everyday shortstop for right now, and maybe even through the postseason. Because Anthony Volpe, as much as Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone want to give him a chance to get himself right, maybe simply because of what he did last postseason, he has a torn rotator cuff, or labrum, I should say. He's got a torn labrum. And at some point, he's got inflammation or injury. At the very least, he's thinking about it, which is going to impact your performance.
On that note, this is just breaking from Aaron Boone on Anthony Volpe. He doesn't think Anthony Volpe will start a single game this series. He said hopefully he's available in some capacity off the bench as he recovers from a cortisone shot in his shoulder.
Yes.
Wow. I don't want to say great news because the guy's hurt and that's not great.
Well, it's good for him to sit down and get maybe healthier.
Yeah, I like the way you phrase that, even though that's not what we're thinking.
Of course not.
It's nice to say.
Look, if he's healthy and you go back before May, what was that, 3rd?
Yeah.
May 3rd?
May 3rd was the injury.
Well, take that, Anthony Volpe.
He was a good ball player. He was hitting a decent average. Mm-hmm. He had an OPS in the high sevens. He wasn't making errors every 30 seconds. Like, Anthony Volpe, for the first month of the season, was a good little baseball player. He's been atrocious since then. So I guess
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Prediction isn't even a prediction anymore because Boone confirmed
yes.
What I'm surmising, which is we're not going to see Anthony Volpe. Here's the real question. So if you go back a couple of weeks ago before this stretch began, I know that Keith McPherson has called it the test. Big Mac has called it the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. So Yankee fans have different phrases for this stretch of games that they have played against good teams. What are you calling it? Do you have a pet nickname for it?
All I called it was the stretch, but I didn't know everybody else had different nicknames for
it. Yeah. Keith called it like a test, like the final exam. I thought that was cool. Mm. Big Mac called it the gauntlet. I thought that was much less original, but you know Big Mac. Not that original. So whatever you want to call it.
The win the fans back stretch.
How about series at the end of the season?
Yeah, I like that one, Teague.
Yeah, it's just keep it what it is. Well, keep it simple.
Because my view of this has been different, respectfully, than those Yankee fans. It is strictly games that they need to win the division.
Yes.
Not proving anything. But we asked Sean about the 12-game stretch and said, hey, what's good enough for you? And I remember we had this debate, and I said to you, Teague, at the end of the day, as long as they win the division, it doesn't matter what they do in this 12-game mm-hmm. stretch. You know, if they go 4-8, but then they win every other game and win the AL East, mission accomplished.
Right.
So Sean, on the other hand, said they need to go 8-4. That's what you said.
Yeah.
They are currently 5-4. They've won two of the series. They beat the Astros 2-3. They beat Toronto 2-3. They unfortunately lost to the Tigers 2-3. Now they play the Red Sox. The only way for them to go 8-4 is to sweep the Boston Red Sox. If the Yankees win 2-3,
mm-hmm.
which, call me crazy, Teague, is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Would that be enough for you, Sean?
No. I got to stay true. Now, and I only say this for this. Yeah, I'll be happy if they won a series versus the Boston Red Sox.
That's all that matters, by the way.
But
you win three out of the four series, you're good.
But
I think you've done well.
And look, I understand that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but my point on 8-4 was also this, and this is where I kind of disagree with Evan. He brought up the Yankee schedule after this and the Blue Jays schedule. Going 8-4 and now sweeping would keep you in that division race. I'm not so sure that we're going to be talking about the Yankees with a shot to win this division if they don't sweep this series versus the Boston Red Sox.
I know you're saying that because you look at who the Blue Jays play, and it's the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
But the Baltimore Orioles has been one of the hottest teams in the American League right now.
It's true.
And so I know they haven't played anybody, but it's still the reality of baseball.
Okay, but I just want to put everybody in a spot Monday where we're not pissed about the Giants and Jets for a second.
Mm.
If the Yankees legitimately swept the Boston Red Sox, and you know all the negativity that has surrounded this fan base and this team, and now we've pretty much extinguished Anthony Volpe playing, Caballero playing, you don't think there's a much different feel around this team, around the fan base, and around the energy heading to October as opposed to simply taking 2-3?
I don't care, with all due respect to Yankee fans, what your feel is. I think that doesn't matter.
Mm.
I'm telling you that...
You don't think the team will be more jazzed up?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. Will Big Mac have more confidence at 2 a.m.? Sure. Will Keith have more confidence? Sure. I'm not denying that, and good for them. I don't think it matters. I think the only thing that matters is winning the division. Now, I'll admit this. They're four games behind Toronto, because that's truly what they are, because they have to pass Toronto.
Yes.
It's not easy to make up four games in 16.
Yeah.
But that's not, I totally admit that is not easy to make up that kind of ground, and they have very little margin for error. If the Blue Jays play well, I mean, you're forcing the Yankees to maybe go 14-2. So I get that losses matter. But in terms of the Red Sox, who the Yankees right now are a game ahead of in the loss column, if they win 2-3 and increase that lead to 2, I feel very good that you'll finish ahead of Boston.
Yeah.
Very good. Because you play Minnesota, who you own, you play the Orioles 7 times in the final 10 games, and you play the White Sox. Meanwhile, the Red Sox close the season after they play the A's. You ready for who they play? Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not the greatest, but decent. Toronto, someone's got to lose, and Detroit, where the Tigers are probably still playing for the number one seed. I feel very good if you win two out of three and you have a two-game loss column lead on Boston, they will not finish ahead of you.
Yeah, 7-5 in the gauntlet is pretty damn good.
Thank you.
6-6 in the gauntlet is just kind of average, but doesn't mean you're completely out of it.
No. I think 6-6 would be disappointing, especially from a mathematical standpoint.
Yes, because it gets really hard then to catch Toronto.
It becomes harder to catch Toronto, and now you've given the Red Sox full control because you're essentially tied, and the Red Sox have the tiebreaker. See, I'm all about math in the division. These guys, Teak, are all about emotions.
Yeah, win the division.
That's all I care about. They're about how do you feel.
And then hope that the Orioles find ways to do damage to the Blue Jays.
That's right.
By the way, they did damage to the Padres. They swept them. Mm-hmm. They did damage to the Dodgers. They took two out of three. Then they did damage to the Padres again, sweeping them.
Well, they also play the Yankees 7 out of 10 times.
That's
so
true.
Not too much damage. Oh,
they'll get cold by then.
To that point, how about the Yankees do their own damage for once and go surprise us and just go sweep a team that has no problem sweeping you throughout the year?
Damage. I got a good one. I'm going to give you a choice. The Yankees sweep the Red Sox in convincing fashion, but the Giants lose to the Cowboys. Or the Giants beat the Cowboys, but they get swept again by the Red Sox.
Mm. You'll take the Yankee sweep.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will.
No, he won't. Yeah, he
will. Hold on. Lay this out for me again.
Yeah, Yankees sweep the Red Sox.
I promise you.
But the Giants lose to the Cowboys. The Yankees get swept by the Red Sox. Giants beat the Cowboys. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, honestly, it's got to be the Yankees right now.
Wow! Mm.
And I only say that to say, don't get me wrong, I'd love nothing more to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But the expectation is they're going to lose to the Dallas Cowboys. And at least the caveat if they lose is I could start envisioning more Jackson Dart getting there sooner. Yankees sweep the Boston Red Sox. The one freaking team I have that at least made a World Series has me believing that I could see some sort of happiness in October. Where right now the Giants got me in the fridge
anyway.
But
here's the problem with your reasoning. Yankees are making the postseason regardless.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
I think you need the Giants to play well. That's my choice.
But as we pointed to, Yankees making the postseason and not having home field, disaster.
Well, I mean, home field is home field, and home Judge plays terrible, so let's get Judge on the road to start a playoffs.
Also, remember something?
You never know.
Remember something, and I don't know if you learned this from either Pete Alonso or me many years ago on a different show I hosted. Each football game counts as 10 baseball games. So if the Giants win a game, that's a 10-game winning streak. I'm only giving you a 3-game winning streak. So the math should tell you that the Giants winning would be worth the trade-off.
Way too much nuanced. If the trade-off is the Giants look like a competent organization in winning and it's not about the Cowboys bumbling all over themselves, then maybe we have a different story.
Speaking of the Giants winning this game, how can they pull that off? Well, this Giants clean, crisp breakdown is sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. How do they do it, Tiki?
Yeah, well, we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's getting off to a fast start, but what does that fast start look like? Last week, it was trying to establish the run, but as we saw in the very first run of the game, Greg Van Roten got beat inside. Tyrone Tracy gets stuffed for a loss, and all of a sudden, you're behind the chain. So to me, I think they get this thing off to a good quick start by letting Russ be Russ, get the ball out quickly. It's what we saw in the preseason, to be perfectly honest with you. Allow his playmakers, Malik Nabers, to not be, what did he call it, RBF? On the sideline.
NBF.
NBF.
Natural B face
on the sideline. And set themselves up for actual play action to throw the ball down the field to some of their talented wide receivers. That's how they get started. And just play defense with the level that they did in the second half against the Commanders.
That Giants clean, crisp breakdown was sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Big Mac. I had Big Mac on my mind because he wanted to clarify. When he called the Yankees schedule the gauntlet, he was being sarcastic. He agrees with me. It's all about just winning the division, so you're welcome, Big Mac. I want Sean, who I guess reminds me of Big Mac, he's going to read you a quote. A Giant player said something about Mike Kafka that some are taking as a shot at Mike Kafka.
Let's hear it.
So the quote is from our dear friend. He's really more your dear friend, but he's nice to me by proxy, Tyrone Tracy.
All right.
Tyrone Tracy said this, and you tell me, as a guy that's spoken to the media many times, sometimes taking shots, sometimes not taking shots, I would say you're an expert on this. You know what a shot looks like.
Yep.
What did Tyrone have to say?
Okay, no audio. This is from Ryan Dunleavy of the Post Twitter account. I have to do what's called, but I definitely said we needed to run the ball on the 1 yard line. I feel like everyone felt the same, whether it's offensive line, quarterback, running back. To do the play action pass off the 1 yard line, you have to run the ball first. And that was in regards to the red zone struggles. And of course, that play to Marcus Bowe.
Yeah. No, that's just fact. That's not doing anything, saying anything critical. It's honestly just fact. And especially when you consider that so much of what the Giants are doing, I talked about this earlier this week, how they run a lot of duo running is double teams at the point of attack, but it's really a power run. They call it power without the puller, so there's no pulling guard coming around, but it's a power run. That's all the Giants want to run. And so if you get down to the goal line, isn't that what you should probably run? I would think so. And so when you do that, it forces the defense to think, this team, even if they're not being successful, are going to try to run it down our throat.
Mm.
And when you do that once, maybe twice, you then set up a potential play-action pass. So he's just stating a fact. It's nothing critical, I don't think, of Mike Kafka. It's just a fact.
Let's get to some of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Tom is in Floral Park. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Yeah, I'm calling, Evan, I was coming home from work and I heard Evan, spouting these stats for Josh Allen playing at Giant Stadium. Meadowlands. Well, I'm sorry, MetLife Stadium.
But, whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah, we got it.
I'm losing it. So last week he cuts out some Aaron Rodgers stats for his game one weeks over the last 4 years.
That is true. Yeah.
And they sucked. That sucked. And I think he threw a touchdown for each season that you referenced, right? Did he have 4 touchdown passes?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know.
He did. You're right.
He did. Well, there you go.
Are you?
So one per season.
Are you accusing? Are you saying that me bringing up stats, even if they're negative
no,
towards
saying
the
that,
player, is a like kiss of death, like it's going to cause the opposite to happen?
No. It has nothing to do with the outcome. I get that. But you have a tendency to like bring up stats, and you're not saying which way the game is going to go based on those stats, but you're implying how the game is going to go.
No. You were right the first time. Now, I didn't imply that the Jets would beat the Steelers. What I told you, and I own it, is that it was going to be an ugly, low-scoring game, mm-hmm. and the Jets would lose, and the Steelers would cover, but it would be exactly the hype we expected. It would be 13-6 or 13-9. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
That was a high-scoring affair, man.
Oh, my. And not only was I wrong about Rodgers, even though the history showed me that, yes, he does struggle first weeks of years, and I thought it was associated with the fact that he doesn't play in the preseason and the injuries he's dealt with over the last few years. But I was also wrong about the Jets because I didn't think Justin Fields and the Jet offense would put up as many points as they did. Now, here's the thing about stats. Believe it or not, you hear that, and I remember it too, and you say, oh, see, it proves it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, because more times than not, they do matter.
Yeah.
I forget who the pitcher was, but the other day I brought up Aaron Judge's career numbers against an individual pitcher.
Yeah, it was 5 and something. I forgot who it was.
And what'd he do? He hit a home run.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times it does matter. Josh Allen's struggles at MetLife Stadium against the Jets, I've admitted I don't think it matters because it's a different head coach. Mm-hmm. It's a different defensive coordinator. It's a different strategy. We're going to see Sauce likely travel or possibly travel. So I think it's good to know the history, but it doesn't always indicate future performance. In the case of last week, I was wrong. In the case of this week, and you're about to find out, I don't think it matters because we'll explain further. I think the Jets are going to get their ass kicked. And we'll explain more on why when we make our NFL picks. Like, week one was all special and unique and weird. Football's back. This is so strange. I have to explain this to my wife again. Now it's normal. It's like, yeah, it's week two. It's football season. And what we do on Friday here on Evident Tiki is we make our NFL picks. We pick 3 games. We pick Giants and Jets. Tiki is exonerated from the Giants since he works on the pre- and post-game show. We make our 3 picks, and so we see how we do. I am the 3-time defending champion, 5-time defending champion, if you want to go back to past shows and past eras. So I'm the guy they're gunning for. And so far early, there's a new sheriff in town, and that sheriff's name is Tiki Barber.
Thank you. You're far too kind. I appreciate the kudos that you've passed my way so far this year. I've actually been able to really try to win this, and I'm going to dominate y'all sorry asses,
okay.
Just so you know.
Wow. Well, last night, both I and Tiki, that's not really verbally correct, but Tiki and I both picked the Green Bay Packers.
It's
laying
Tiki
the three.
And me.
Tiki and me. We both picked the Packers laying the three, so we added W's to our score.
No, wait, it is Tiki and I.
Shouldn't you know that?
Me and
All I know is...
If you took me out, what would you say?
I.
So it's Tiki and
Tiki I. Tiki and I. Sean and Loogie both picked the Commanders, so they took L. So as we begin week two, and we make our NFL picks presented by Cash App, here are the standings. In first place, Tiki Barber, 5-1. In second place, tied at 3-3, both me and Tommy Lugauer. And sitting in last place, creating a massive hole for themselves with a 1-5 record, is Sean Morash.
I feel like the Phillies in May.
You dunned him in May. I was the one who said they'll come back and take an NL East lead. So I guess you're dunning yourself. I'll kick it off with my week two picks. Let me start off with the Jets and the Bills. I'm starting right off with the main event for me as a Jet fan. Here's the way I'm going to look at things, Coach AG. I like you, and I believe in you, and I trust you. I've watched every one of your press conferences this week, and I was thinking this. You have given the most enjoyable press conferences of any Jet coach in my lifetime. And what I saw in week one, offensively, was incredibly encouraging. What I saw from you, Coach AG, incredibly encouraging. But I'm a results man. And you lost. And you lost because of miscues. You lost because of a fumble on a kick return. Now, you caught Xavier Gibson, thank you, but you still lost. There were still dumb penalties, hello, Quincy Williams. You still had the ball in your hands, two possessions, and did nothing. And the way I look at my football team is, while I have optimism for the future, I don't believe anything until you prove it. And so I'm sorry. The Buffalo Bills, who talent-wise may be the best team in the AFC and won an incredible game against the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, I think the Bills are going to kill us. Yeah, I do. And I think a lot of the Jet defensive success they've had against Josh Allen, we actually have to give credit to Robert Saleh, who ain't walking through that door. How is the Aaron Glenn defense has done against Josh Allen? How? How did the Aaron Glenn defense look last week against a inferior offense in the Pittsburgh Steelers? Look, I think there'll be good things in this game. Like, I think there'll be things you can put your arms around and say, oh, that's improved. Like, the run game will be fine. Maybe Justin Fields will even make some really good decisions and play well. But ultimately, the Bills are far better. And so, unfortunately, I'd like to be wrong, but until proven otherwise, give me the Bills laying the 6.5 at MetLife Stadium against my football team. Now, let me get to your team. The New York Giants have no excuse. They have none. Okay? No excuse. Russell Wilson is here because he's supposed to be bringing competence to a position you haven't had competence. You're facing a Cowboys secondary that's banged up. You're also facing a Cowboy team that needs to win. We could talk all we want about how important it is for the Giants. If the Dallas Cowboys lose this game, it is a disaster. Not only are they 0-2, not only did they lose to the Giants, you got crowds chanting, thank you, Jerry, for the Micah Parsons trade. Like, it would be an unmitigated disaster. But I don't trust you. I don't trust Brian Daboll. I don't trust Andrew Thomas to actually play. He clearly won't. I don't trust your offensive line. I don't trust Mike Kafka. I don't trust anything about you. And while, again, I, believe it or not, would like to be wrong, I have no ill will towards the Giants, I have no reason to believe, considering your history against Dak Prescott, your history against the Dallas Cowboys, and how minor league your offense looked last week, I have no reason to believe you're going to win this game or even cover the number. So I'd like to be naive, like some of the Giant fans I work with. I'd love to. Prove me wrong. I said it to the Jets. I'll say it to the Giants. Give me the Cowboys laying the 4.5. And in game number three, this is a game I hate, but I want to pick it anyway. Two teams I despise, the Patriots and the Dolphins. Look, this can go one or two ways. The Dolphins could respond as a final last grasp for their head coach who's on the hot seat. Or the New England Patriots, who I think are better than the way they played in week one, even though I don't think they're a very good team, could easily respond. Now, I know that Tommy and Sean would tell me, the line is begging you to take the Patriots because they're getting a point. I don't know what that means. No one's begging me to do anything. I'm looking at two football teams that I both despise, and I'm saying to myself, who do I think's going to win? Well, I think the Patriots are going to win. And I think they're going to destroy the Dolphins. And I think on Monday, Frank the Tank's going to lose like his mind. And Dolphin fans are going to be like, fire Mike McDaniels! He's terrible! So, in a game in which I win either way and I lose either way, because I hate both teams, give me the Patriots getting a point and a half against the Miami Dolphins. So my picks, Buffalo minus 6.5, Dallas minus 4.5, and the New England Patriots getting a point and a half. Those are my picks for week number 2 in the NFL. Tiki Barber.
I will start with your New York football Jets. The Jets are hosting the Buffalo Bills. The line, as you just heard from Evan, they're getting 6.5 points, almost a touchdown at home. It's like insulting. Insulting the home team that put up 32 points last week. Justin Fields is a different player. I know you believe your team is going to get their asses kicked, Evan. This is just some kind of emotional hedge you're trying to have to make yourself feel better. You say it to all of us, but in reality, you know what's going on here. Breece Hall is a stud. That offensive line is studly. The defense is going to get back to the ways of the Robert Saleh era, even if it means mimicking what Robert Saleh used to do to shut down Josh Allen or make him force him to throw bad decisions and make mistakes. I know the Bills are the best team in the AFC right now because they beat the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs lost in week 1. But give me the Jets. Give me the mojo of the Meadowlands and MetLife. Jets plus 6.5. Next, the aforementioned Baltimore Ravens. They lost embarrassingly. Had a 15-point lead with, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills last week. They're playing the Browns at home. The line is enormous. 11.5. It's not big enough. Give me 2 touchdowns for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, those guys are going off. Zay Flowers is going off against the Browns, who are starting Joe Flacco at quarterback. I know he completed, 68% of his passes last week, but to whom? The running backs? Yes, it was the running back. That's who he threw the ball to. I know Myles Garrett is over there, but you know who can run away from Myles Garrett? Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are going to destroy the Browns. The black and blue division. It's the black and marshmallow division, you'd ask me. The Ravens by 11.5. And then finally, the Los Angeles Rams. They got to get on a plane and fly all the way across the country, take on the Tennessee Titans. They're laying 5.5. They're road favorites against the Tennessee Titans. It's the Titans. You can't do that. Cam Ward. He looked like a rookie. And you know how I feel about rookie peeps. I hate rookies. Who's checking Puka Nacua? Legarius Sneed hasn't been the same since he left Kansas City. Jarvis Browning. And I, 24-year-old. No chance. They got talent up and down that roster. And Matt Stafford's trying to prove something. Give me the Rams laying 5.5. So, the New York Jets getting 6.5. The Ravens laying 11.5. And the L.A. Rams laying 5.5.
You can tell Tiki's different this year.
I just said to Tommy, what swag is
he? I mean, he's different. Sean Morass with your 1-5 record.
All right. My start has been unacceptable, but in the early NFL season, it's very hard to pick games, and you got to lean on what you know. So my first out-of-market game is leaning on something I know. And there's a quarterback in the NFL that when facing elite pass rushes, looks like a shriveled hot dog that's been left on a 7-Eleven roller all day. And that quarterback is Daniel Jones. You talk about a massive overreaction to the Miami Dolphins sucking and everybody loving the Colts. The Broncos are going to Indianapolis with that defense that can travel, that defense that beat the hell out of Cam Ward, and they're only laying 1.5. Even if Bo Nix doesn't look great, the Broncos are winning this game. And if the Broncos are winning this game, they're not going to win it by 2 points. Daniel Jones goes back to Stinky Jones. Give me the Broncos laying 1.5. That's game number 1. Game number 2, at MetLife Stadium. I think a lot of what Evan said pertains here. He's an elite quarterback. Everybody expects the Jets to play tight here. I do too. Ed Oliver out of this game, I think, is an enormous deal. And how did that Bills defense look versus a team that could run the hell out of the football on them a week ago? I'm not saying the Jets win this game. Heck, this smells like another heartbreak, close loss where Evan's screaming about how there's no moral victories. But 6.5 is way too much. Give me the Jets getting the points in game number 2. Now, for the Giants and Cowboys down in Dallas. I said early in the week, everybody loves the Cowboys this week. Everybody's throwing the Giants out in the trash. Everybody's doing that. And that's stupid to do. but I'm doing it now, too. The more as the week has gone on, the more even I, Sean Dottino, I'm starting to turn a little bit on Brian Daboll. If we have all this steam and all this buildup to Jackson Dart playing, we think, what, suddenly everything's going to change, the Giants are going to win a game, we're going to quiet those waters. Usually when there's smoke, there's fire. I think the Giants do a little better offensively, but CeeDee Lamb eats. We talk about the defense not stopping the run. And no Andrew Thomas is a big deal, man. I'm taking the Cowboys to win this game by 7 to 10 points, and we see Jackson Dart in week 3.
Wow. He went from kissing butt to that crowd a week ago.
Yeah.
When we did the big show from American Dream, Giants are going to make the playoffs, to now picking against them. Sad.
I'm done losing. I'm 1-5.
No, I got you. I got you. Tommy Lugauer.
So are the Giants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Game number one for me is the game of the weekend. Do you know that Patrick Mahomes has never lost 3 games in a row in his entire NFL career?
Wow.
Well, he's about to.
Ah! Oh,
the best team in the NFL, unfortunately, is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I understand that Mahomes pulls these games out of the fire. Worthy's hurt. Their receiving core is not what it's going to be at some point this season. And I just have this sneaky suspicion that the 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs are playing the Giants on Sunday Night Football in essentially a must-win game for Kansas City. I just feel like that's the storyline that's going to play out.
No, you're probably right about that.
So game number one, I'm going to think about it. The Eagles are the favorites on the road in Kansas City. So I'm taking the Eagles here, laying the 1.5 in Kansas City, the game of the week. Game number two, it's funny. Beginning of the week, I was like, you know what? The Jets always play the Bills tough. They make Josh Allen look like, I don't know, Daniel Jones at times. But then I went to myself, I said, I've had this narrative all summer that week one against the Steelers was the Jets' Super Bowl. And I thought that would be their best performance of the season. So what happens after the Super Bowl? You have a letdown spot. I think the Bills lay a big one. I'm with Evan on this one, on the Jets. I think it's 31-14, something in that scenario. Easily clears the 6.5. So I'm going to take the Bills in this spot. Laying the 6.5 at MetLife. Now, game number three. Here's going to be my mentality until Jackson Dart starts. I'm obviously rooting for the Giants. I want them to win, but I'm not going to pick them. You want to call this an emotional hedge, whatever the case may be. Dak Prescott has won, correct me if I'm wrong here, 13 games in a row against the Giants.
That is correct. Lost his first two and has won the last 13.
13. And when Dak is healthy, we could say whatever we want about the Cowboys. They win football games, even with Parsons now in Green Bay. So I'm going to take Dallas here, lay in the 4.5 against the Giants as my pick number three. So it's Eagles laying the 1.5 in Kansas City, Bills laying the 6.5 on the road at MetLife against the Jets, and Dallas laying 4.5 at home against the Giants.
Wow. So none of us are picking the New York Giants.
That's great news, by the way, for the Giants.
Is it?
I think so. It can't be that easy, right? If we all four say it must be, you know, easy that the Cowboys are going to win.
I give you credit. I give Sean credit. I don't give myself any credit because I'm not a fan who's having emotions get in the way. But I think sometimes, especially you two, you preached things were going to be different this year. You did. I mean, you just did. And it's okay. Like, I'm a fan. I've done it before as well. Like, it's not crazy. And so it's interesting to see a week into the season, you've both abandoned the ship.
No, hold on.
It only took 1 week for you to say, you know what? I was wrong. No biggie.
Well, no.
Sean, you picked him to win. I picked him to cover last week, just to be fair here. And for me, I don't know if you guys feel differently. I have to see the Giants actually beat teams in their division at this point before I can actually say it's going to happen.
No, but remember, you were tweeting hours before kickoff, most excited I've been.
It's true. Like,
and also the tone that you guys specifically had over the last few months was very, very positive.
Hold on. If you're about to go out to a strip club and you're super excited and you walk in and the first stripper you see has one leg, what happens?
One leg?
You lose your excitement.
What kind of strip clubs are you going to?
Why would you care about their legs?
The point is, we're allowed to be excited and they're allowed to change the narrative, but we're not going to go down with the ship until they do.
And Evan is twisting my words and really Sean's words. What I said there was I am optimistic about the direction of the Giants.
Are you still?
Yes.
Okay.
And Sean said this too.
Good for you.
Our optimism might not equal wins this year, but next year we feel like the Giants are going to be where we all want. Why is that so funny? You're a bad guy. You're just a bad person.
Nothing's funny.
Yeah, okay.
Though he did bring up something very interesting I want to bring up to you, Teague. The game over the weekend that I think we'll all be focused on after the Jets and Giants are done losing is the Eagle-Chiefs game.
Yes.
Super Bowl rematch, second week of the year. It's almost a standalone game in the 4 o'clock window. There's two other games, but obviously, unless you have YouTube and you got the NFL package, and by the way, those games are not jumping out at you. It's Arizona, Carolina,
right,
and Denver, Indianapolis, one of the games you picked.
But Philadelphia, Kansas City, at Kansas City, is the nationally televised late window game.
Oh, yeah, and we're all going to be locked into it.
Yeah, CBS will have late games, but they will not be nationally televised.
Obviously, I think all of us, or Giant fans, I should say, Jet fans a little different. Every Giant fan is going to sit there and root hard for the Kansas City Chiefs. That goes without saying. But it almost needs to be extra hard. Because he's right, and I've given this thought. If the Chiefs lose this game and they start 0-2, do you know the last time the Kansas City Chiefs franchise began a season 0-2?
No, but why does it matter?
Oh, history matters.
Because we're scared about the Giants?
Yeah, because you're not making them 0-3. That's why.
Okay, but that doesn't matter. I think everybody's already chalked that up to a loss. So why does it matter?
Well, Sean didn't. You picked them to win the game a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think just because they go 0-2 doesn't mean Jackson Dart doesn't strike them with energy and they win a game.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree? And I do feel Tiki's going to definitely disagree with this as a player.
Yes.
Do you not agree that the Chiefs losing would make the Giants' job tougher the following week?
I think it's going to be tough regardless.
Yeah, I agree. Sunday night football.
This is out of the Joe Beningo category of how he watches games. Like, he even said it to us when he was on last Tuesday. He said, and you know what? Thank God they beat the Ravens. I didn't want to face the Bills. And you know what? I kind of felt the same way. Like, I was rooting for the Bills to lose, but a part of me was like, I don't want them after a loss. Well, the Chiefs haven't started 0-2 since 2014, which means it hasn't happened in the Patrick Mahomes era. And they haven't started 0-3 since 2011. Romeo Crennel was the head coach.
Wow. Yeah.
So I would not. What?
They haven't started 0-3 since 2011?
Oh, you're going Giants Super Bowl connection? Sean, I want to look in your eyes when I say
who
this
did thing. The Giants lose to in their opener in 2011?
Kansas City.
No, they didn't.
No, I don't know.
In Washington versus the Commanders.
No, it wasn't.
Yep.
Sean.
Oh, my God.
Sean.
Is Bo Collins Victor Cruz?
I'm going to say this as gently.
Darius, Slayton, what's his name? Slayton has a groin injury.
Yeah. Don't do this to me.
Don't do what to you? You think the Giants are winning the Super Bowl
now?
No,
Bo Collins comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No. Sean is basically creating a story arc that the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl now.
Why are you knocking it down?
Oh,
don't poo-poo it.
Didn't they have a young pass rusher that wasn't a starter by the name of Jason Pierre-Paul, who was a first-round pick that came out of nowhere?
There you go.
Didn't they have a running back tandem of Bradshaw and Jacobs?
Yeah.
How about you guys score
two
a touchdown?
Two guys coming off This history of us two stars.
Don't join in on this team.
Unheralded tight end play, Jake Ballard. Yeah. That's Theo Johnson.
Do not start to talk yourself into it. We didn't score a touchdown before you talk at Super Bowl.
Thank you, SNY, for joining us as always. Baseball Night in New York coming up next. Brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. I'm sorry you're going to miss this argument that Sean and Evan are about to
get because he's crazy.
He just don't wake me. Now, we just gave you a reason. Let's go Eagles this weekend. We want the parallels of the Chiefs.
Win a game before you start talking bowl. And did you say, let's go Eagles? I didn't hear you correctly.
Let's go Eagles if it sets up the 2011 parallel? Absolutely.
Yes. Agreed.
WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon.
We love Jalen Hurts, by the way.
You don't want that. Like, you don't want...
I don't want a Super Bowl?
No, you don't want an 0-2 Kansas City Chief team coming to your home opener. Well, you don't want
if they're 0-2, that might mean they're bad.
Do you think they're bad?
I don't know.
They're not bad. They may not be...
I know they're older than they have been.
No question.
I know that they got run through defensively, at least offensively, by the Eagles defense in the Super Bowl.
They played on another continent last week.
Okay.
Literally, because South America, yes, is another continent. I just want you to know, Sean, in case you were curious.
Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Yes.
They speak Portuguese.
Good for you.
You know how you know that? No, wait, how did I know that?
I think you just knew that because you know that.
No, I think Tanner McKee did his mission in Brazil.
Oh.
Was it in Brazil? I think he did his mission in Brazil, and he had to learn Portuguese. That's how I know that.
Wow.
That's a good pull there, Sean.
It's something.
That's knowledge.
I'm cultural.
Very much so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.